You know, one of my goals in life is before I die or retire or get incarcerated or whatever's going to happen, you know, before I'm done, I would like our movement to just completely abolish and destroy Ruckmanism and their heresies and their doctrines. And one way we're going to do that is by just facing dispensationalism and destroying it.
Because that's our goal. Our goal, and we're not hiding it, is to destroy dispensationalism. To bury it in the ground 6 feet deep that it never comes back.
But if you let me hang around, I'll be after your soul. I'm out to get it.
Turn to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. It says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So the Bible says that Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
So, and you're in Revelation 13, 8. Look what it says. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of the Lamb, or the life, excuse me, the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Right.
Christ, God lives outside of time. All right. But there was a certain time when Jesus had to come and die on the cross and atone for our sins. There was a time period when that happened. But everything from the creation to that time, those people believed and were saved just like anybody else. It takes faith to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Now, maybe they didn't know the name of the Lord Jesus, but they still had faith in the name of the God that they knew at that time.
Amen. Right.
So, Ephesians chapter 3. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. While you're turning there, I'm going to read from you Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26 says this, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Let me ask you this question. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, what does the Bible say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
So in Genesis chapter 4, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. How were they saved in Genesis chapter 4? By calling upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
How are you saved right now? You call upon the name of the Lord in faith and ask him to save you.
Amen.
Same salvation.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. You want to talk about some ages? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout what? All ages. World without end. Amen.
Amen.
Christ Jesus throughout all ages. So, Christ Jesus has been throughout all ages.
Amen.
Moses wrote about Christ. Moses said that there's going to be a prophet that will rise up like unto me. Hear ye him. That's
right.
What he said.
Yeah.
So Moses, you know, the Bible says that Abraham was preached the gospel.
Yeah.
In the book of Genesis, and, you know, in the book of Galatians, it says that he was preached the gospel by God, right?
Amen.
So
that's right.
Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 says, and he believed in the Lord, talking about Abram. And he counted it to him for righteousness. What did he say? He believed in the Lord.
Yeah.
And he counted it to him for righteousness. So how was Abraham saved? By faith.
Amen.
How was Moses saved? By faith.
Amen.
How was Joshua saved? By faith.
Amen.
How has anybody that's ever been born into this world been saved? By faith.
Amen.
Believe it. That's the truth. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. And, you know, I thought during a Baptist church it was okay to turn to a lot of Bible verses.
Amen. Amen.
So
give us some.
You're like, yeah, I need to let your fingers do the walking, right?
Well, that's no.
Some of you remember those old phone books where that was the ad. That, okay. I got some people that are a little closer to my age in here. So look what Hebrews 10:9 says. It says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, talking about the first Testament, right? That he may establish the second. Okay? By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What's it say there? Once for all.
Amen.
Once for all. So why would you need to be saved by works in any other age or any other thing when it says that we're saved by that offering by Jesus Christ once for all? He only had to die once.
Amen.
That's right.
Okay? And that was good enough to save every single person. Does the Bible say he died for the sins of the whole world, or just some of them before Abraham, and then some of them, you know, and then the law was this? No, no, no. Christ is powerful enough, and his atonement was good enough to save everybody to the uttermost.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So look what it says in verse number 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can what? Well, some man read that to me. What's it say?
Which can never take away sins.
Which can never take away sins. Right. Tell me how it works. Please explain to me how you're saved by works in any age. If you believe in ages, that's fine. But tell me what the Bible says right there, which can never take away sins. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins. You can believe, you can have works, but I'll tell you what, those never saved anybody. Right. The blood of Christ was a type of the blood of Christ, and to show what he was going to do later on.
Right.
Look at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered what? One sacrifice for sins for what? Forever.
Yes.
Sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And by one offering he hath perfected forever.
Amen.
Them that are sanctified.
Amen.
Yes.
Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now let me ask you something. You heard what I said, what I read about the quote from Dr. Ruckman, how he said that after the rapture, you're going to have to keep the golden rule and the Ten Commandments or whatever. You heard that he said that in the tribulation time, you're going to have to be saved a different way. What does the Bible teach? That he has perfected by one offering forever. So is the book of Revelation after the book of Hebrews or before the book of Hebrews?
After.
It's after, isn't it? You know why? Because the events take place after that. So let me tell you something. When the book of Hebrews says that there's only one way of salvation, there's only one way to be saved, there's only one sacrifice, there's only one time is the offer for our sins, then how can it be for works in the book of Revelation? How can that be possible? Are you saying it's that the sacrifice is no longer good enough for you in the book of Revelation? Is that what you're saying? Because that is heresy. Yeah. That is not true.